What happens when England's dirtiest politician hires Shakespeare as his spin doctor? Equivocation, a play by Bill Kane, uses the English 17th century gunpowder plot as a vehicle to demonstrate how politicians generate fear and create divisions to advance their own interests during times of crisis. Rhinebeck Theatre Society will present Equivocation for a two-week run beginning on October 3rd. Here to tell us more, Ellen Honig, director of Equivocation and Rhinebeck Theatre Society president. Lou Trapani, managing director of the Rhinebeck Center for the Performing Arts, joins us. Lou also plays Shakespeare in the production, and playwright Bill Kane joins us as well. Bill and Ellen and Lou, thank you very much for being here. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you.
We're delighted.
Thank you. Very nice to have you with us. So let us begin with you, Ellen. How did this all come about?
Well, I saw Equivocation in New York at the Manhattan Theater Club in 2010, and I was just thrilled with the production. I just loved the play. I could feel that there was so much love in the play, just love of theater in the play, and it was so multi-layered, and it was so full of surprises. Every scene seemed to be something exciting was happening, and the language was so fast back and forth and so witty, and it was full of humor, and it was very dramatic, and it was very moving, and there was so much action on stage, and I just thought, I've got to do this play. I love this play. So I immediately applied for the rights, and they weren't available to us until this year in January, and I got a phone call from the Dramatist Play Service, and they said the rights were there for me, and I took them immediately, and I'm just thrilled to be working on this marvelous, multi-layered, intelligent play.
And Bill, of course, you made all that happen.
Anything I could say would be a disappointment after that. I tend to remain completely quiet and let people go on praising this magnificent work of art.
Well, let us have you explain how you developed the story and what ultimately you wanted to do with it.
Sure. First of all, Guys and Rhinebeck, thank you for doing the show. I appreciate that very much.
The
play came about, I was in London on a vacation. I wasn't looking to write a play, but I spent a lot of time in the Globe Theatre watching Mark Rylance's Extraordinary Company. And then I went to the Tower of London almost as an afterthought. I hadn't been there in a while. And when I walked in many of the cells, there are engravings on the walls of political prisoners from the late 1500s, early 1600s. And I was overwhelmed by some of what they had written, and I thought, what would I rather have been? Shakespeare, turning out tens of thousands of the words in the service of a corrupt regime as the official playwright of a corrupt regime, or would I rather have been a political prisoner of conscience? And that's pretty much what the play is. Shakespeare trying to figure out if he wants to be a toady to the king, or if he wants to stand up for what he actually believes in. It's the dilemma of integrity for a writer, and that's where the play came from.
And how has it evolved for you of seeing these various productions of it?
I haven't seen one for a very long time, and then I got flown out to Phoenix to see a production that they were doing, and just 2 weeks ago, and it was beautiful. And it, you know, after a while, you know, you forget that you wrote the play, and you forget what scene comes next. So it was wonderful to have it be presented so lovingly. I've seen a lot of different versions, not a lot, but a number of different versions. And the Manhattan Theater Club production you talk about was extremely dark. I see it as a far more joyous play because I feel like Shakespeare does finally find his own truth.
Lou Trapani is managing director of the Rhinebeck Center for the Performing Arts and also plays Shakespeare in this production. So What is that like to
This is one of the most magnificent arcs ever created. I really am very grateful.
Yeah, I have nothing to say after that.
Yeah, no, it really is beautiful. He starts out, you know, being an artistic and managing director, I'm filled with vanity, and I frequently don't know what I'm talking about, and I think I'm more important than I am, and that's how Shakespeare starts in this play. Mm. And he is very easily seduced by the idea of posterity. He will be known forever and ever. So that's how he starts out. And then what I love about him, and forgive me, Mr. Kane, if I kind of popularize this, but he becomes James Bond. You know, he's 007 in the Elizabethan Jacobean era, trying to find the truth. And as he finds the truth, he then expresses it, writes it, and actually becomes very involved with two of the prisoners in particular. And I think the connection with him makes him a rounded person, and that leads him to a reconciliation with another major character in the play, his daughter. So the wonderful thing about the play is not only is it sweeping history, it's incredibly theatrical, but it's very personal. You know, this is a real guy.
When you, and I assume that's what you wanted, Bill, was to have him be a real guy.
Well, I ran a Shakespeare company for many years, and I've directed most of Shakespeare, and I've directed it a bit around the country as well. So I think it's presumptuous to write for Shakespeare. So I changed his name in the play to Shag, after Shagspere, which was one of his own spellings of his name. But yeah, as a theater director, as a person of theater, you begin to see the plays as a reflection of your own life, and you begin to live within the context of the plays. And what this is about, largely, or part of the play, is much of what he writes is a reflection also of his personal life, and he lost a son. He had several children, but he had a pair of twins, a boy and a girl, and he writes about twins. So part of his concern is filling up that missing place, finding what happened to the son, and unable to see the daughter. So I think that human relationship, that family relationship, humanizes the character of Shakespeare pretty effectively in the show.
Tell us a little bit, Ellen, about the Rhinebeck Theater Society and how you got up and running and the type of work that you're interested in doing.
Oh, the Rhinebeck Theater Society started in 1986, and I joined it in about 1993. It was a local community theater group. I think it was the first one in our area. And we did, you know, four plays a year. And then for a few years, there were six plays. Usually there were a couple of musicals. We always tried to do a good, strong play. Recently, it's had a new look at itself in the past few years. And we've started trying to do a really good theater that's not necessarily commercial, theater that's really intriguing, like this play, and like perhaps like a Tony Kushner play or George Bernard Shaw, you know, good, strong theater. And that's what I believe the Rhinebeck Theater Society is about.
And as far as the Rhinebeck Center for the Performing Arts, I assume that there's that connection, right? You two are connected.
Well, the Center for Performing Arts actually grew out of the Rhinebeck Theater Society. The society needed a home, and so we acquired land and built a theater. But now the theater is home to many, many different production companies. There's also jazz, dance, performance art, classical music, children's theater, a strong educational program. So it's become a year-round operation. One of the things that we're very proud of is the fact that the theater turns over a production every weekend or every two weekends. We perform 265 days out of the year. It's never dark. We're only closed on Christmas and New Year. That's it. But you have to do that. You have to drive the train so that you have income, because grant money is so scarce. We really do live on the box office.
Well, don't miss this one.
So did Shakespeare.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's so compatible.
I suspect you're perfect for playing Shakespeare.
It does. Thank you so much.
The play has all those concerns. How are we going to pay the bills?
Absolutely.
Where's the next hunk of change going to come from?
That's right.
Rhinebeck Theater Society presents Equivocation October 3rd through the 12th. For more information, visit rhinebecktheatersociety.com.
Also, we have a new program that we've instituted called
All right.
Pay What You Will. We're trying to bring in an audience that might not normally go to the theater, and we feel that this is the play that they would most enjoy. And so we're offering people to come in and pay whatever they want. We're hoping that they're going to pay more than a ticket price, which would be $25 to $30. We're hoping they'll pay more. But we are underwritten by sponsors in the local area and one of our board members. So I think that was something that needed to be mentioned here. I want everybody to come.
RhinebeckTheaterSociety.com, RhinebeckTheaterSociety.com. October 3rd through the 12th, it's Equivocation from the Rhinebeck Theater Society. Ellen, Bill, Lou, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.